You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There we go, Leafs Nation. What's going on? It's your guy, James from Offside, hitting you up with a show right here talking about the Leafs and the GM meetings, of course. And, well, the GM meetings, to me, sometimes are nothing but a farce. A lot of the things talked about here won't get put into place until the summertime. They won't get looked at from other leagues until next season. But there is one thing that's gaining a little traction right now, and I'm pretty fired up to check it out and see exactly what is happening with it. And that is the puck over the glass. The reason why I'm excited for that one is because there's a lot of scrutiny over this rule. There's a lot of back and forth over, hey, did the puck go over the glass? Was it knocked out of the glass? What is the definition here? And what I like is if you can review this and check this out, then you're able to dictate, is it a penalty? Is it not a penalty? And you can do it from both sides of things here. So if the puck goes over the glass and it's deemed that it was tipped or it was deemed it was this, that, or the other, they can review that and the coach can challenge it. I like that idea. I also like the fact that, hey, they deem it to go over the glass by the defensive player, but it wasn't done that way. Can be challenged, can very easily be challenged and then reverse. So you can take a penalty off the board or put a penalty on the board. Either way, I like where that goes because then you get it right. And how many times have people griped and moaned and bitched and complained that it was tipped or it was no, it was off the glass, it was this, it was that. And then the penalty stands or doesn't stand, and it becomes a bigger problem. So for me, I like the league looking at this. If this is one thing that does go forward, I know a lot of people sit and say, James, this means you're going to slow down the game even more. For me, if you're slowing down the game to get it right, it's not a problem. It's not an issue. If you're doing it right, that's what you need to do. And everybody can complain about the fact it slows down the game. But if it's your team that's got some skin in the game and that puck went over the glass, but it was tipped or nicked the glass and your coach is able to challenge that, by the way, Maple Leaf fans, how good are we on the challenge? Imagine you're in the playoffs and it comes down to that pivotal kind of play. And I know you say something minute like that. The Leafs had a goal taken off the board by a glove pass that was nicked off the fingers not too many games back. So the Leafs video department, they know how to get it done and get it done right. So what if you're in a playoff game, the puck goes over the glass and they deem it a penalty, but hey, it was tipped, but no one saw it. The only reaction is all the other players on the other team pointing it went over the glass. Then you're able to review it and see that it didn't. It takes that penalty off the board. How key is that right there for a team to take a penalty off the board? Same thing the other way. A team throws it over and the linesman's like, no, it was tipped. And they get together in their little circle and they powwow about it. And they say, no, it was definitely tipped. It went off the glass or off a stick or whatever. You review that. You're able to look at video review, concrete evidence, and say, hey, look, that right there is no way a tip. It's a penalty. Penalty goes on the board. So either way, it really can help either team, whether you're putting one on or taking one off the board. So I like this from the GM meeting. The other thing that was brought up in the GM meeting, and I want to be a fly on the wall. And why? We all know my personal gripes with the Department of Player Safety. And it's not just for the Maple Leafs. It's across the damn board. It's the hits from behind that are not penalized properly or not suspended properly, and guys keep doing it. How many times did Matt Rempe have to do something stupid before he finally got suspended? You have to nip these things in the butt. Is it fun? Does it shut down some of the fun hits and fun things that people like to see? I guess, but for me, it's not fun if someone's injured or laying on the ice. It takes away from another team. So now player of safety is going to be coming in here, George Parros, and he's going to walk in with his strut because the league backs this guy. Gary Bettman backs this guy, and we all know that. We all know the clown show that is the NHL front offices. Let's not say it's not, because it exactly is. And I don't care what you think of the NHL front office. If you're a fan of it, I don't know where you're watching. I'm telling you now, because there is no symmetry between suspensions. You listen to what Detroit thought Perrin was going to get. They thought David Perron was going to get himself 4 games. He got 6. The Leafs thought Morgan Riley would get maybe 2 to 4 games. He got 6. I'm looking at this and I'm saying, what's going on here? There is no parity between plays. There is no similarities between what happens and what the suspension is. So I'd love to hear what George Parros has to say to lay out a plan or say, hey, this is what we look at. This is our criteria. This is why this happens. This is why that happens. I'd love to be a fly on the wall to see what that walking clown show has to say. Because to me, it's ridiculous. There is no consistency in suspensions in the NHL. There just isn't. And it doesn't matter if you are a Maple Leaf fan, if you're a Habs fan, a Vegas fan, it doesn't matter. There is no way you can know what your player is going to be suspended for because there is no baseline. There is no barometer. There's nothing. And repeat offender, non-repeat offender, Jason Spezza, clean as a whistle most of his damn career. Got a huge suspension for his first one, and that one did get reduced. But you're wondering, like, where is the consistency here? There isn't any, and I'd love to hear what George Parros has to say. Because for me, it's nothing but a clown show there. It's nothing but a joke. Because you can never get anything that means anything out of the Department of Player Safety. And when you cry for something to happen, it doesn't. And then plays that are looking non-harmful or meaningless, throw the book at them. But even the fine situation, like the fines, these fines define the maximum amount for slashing. Dude, he slashed him in the face. We're talking Trouba. That should have been a suspension. If you're going the same way, keep it the same way. But if you do not enforce the rules the proper way, guys will take liberties wherever they can. They'll take it from the Bill Belichick way. I will bend the rules until you tell me I'm breaking them. And guys will do that 100%. So you have to set a precedent. And I'm not upset about suspensions. I'm not upset about Morgan Riley getting suspended. But I want things to be consistent. And if the Department of Player Safety can show me a PowerPoint of how they actually do that and how deep in the minutia I have to dig to see how that is consistent, I'm all for it. But I'm not seeing it. There's no way you can convince me that the Department of Player Safety is doing it right. They're just not. There is, and I mean, I guess the old saying is, if the team isn't happy and the fans aren't happy and management isn't happy, then you must be doing it right to some degree, because if everyone's unhappy, then you've done it right somewhere, somehow. I don't think so. Ain't working for me. I want to be a fly on that wall. I want to hear these conversations. I'd love to see a memo come out after the Board of Governors meetings with the Department of Player Safety. This is what we talked about. This is the points that were brought up. And these are the points of emphasis, because fans are not stupid. They want to know what's happening. They look for what's happening. Fans are more in tune, more involved every single season, and they want to see what's happening. And thank God there are guys like Dave Jackson, retired NHL ESPN rules analyst and retired NHL referee, that jump on podcasts or go on the Jeff Merrick show, even this show here, and break down some of our gripes. And some of them, we are dead wrong, and some of them, we have a little bit of a case. But we're not talking about reps. We're talking about Department of Player Safety. One thing I know will be brought up is the abuse of officials. Here's one simple thing you can do, and I know that the NHL will never do it, but I would love to see referees take 5 crafted questions about the game that was. The NHL can vet them, but I want the referee, the head referee of the night, to step out there and say this, that, or the other. You can interview them in their room. That was something Dave Jackson brought up. Interview them on their own turf and allow them to tell you what is going on, why this call was made, or why they felt this, or why they felt that. Because there's a lot of things that we look at and we're like, okay, I get they're human, but where do you err on the side of what the hell are you thinking? Because I want to know. That's one thing that should be brought up here. I don't care. 5 questions, they could be curated to the hells. I just want to hear them say what their thoughts were. And it could be very baseline answers, but it might just cure what is the shitstorm that happens after some games with some calls. I'm just saying. How much would you like it if a referee stood up and said, hey, unfortunately, on X call, we missed it. Or on this call, this is why we called it that way. If you go look at section ba-da-da-da in the rule book, this is how you have to call it. Then you can black and white tell what it is. But if you leave fans to their own devices, then it becomes a witch hunt and a problem and an issue. And guys get labeled unfairly sometimes, referees, because of what they called or didn't call or how they ref the game or might have been viewed as refing a game. So that's an issue. That's a problem. So if the refs could come out, or even, like I said, in their own room with 2 or 3 reporters, one from the other side, 2 from the home side, with carefully curated questions and talk about that game, I think it would go a million miles for each and every fan to solving some of the issues and some of the backlash that happens at the end of games. What do I know, right? I know nothing. I know nothing at all. All right, ladies and gentlemen, time to switch it from the NHL to our beloved Toronto Maple Leafs. 1-0-1 this week. Not the record we were hoping for. Thought we were going to get it a win on the Carolina Hurricanes, but they didn't get it done. They didn't get the job done. The fact of the matter is they were not strong enough on the puck. They didn't want it enough. The power play, a 4-on-3, and you can't score. You cannot tell me. You cannot sit here, and we'll talk about this more in a moment, and tell me that Mitch Marner is the only reason the power play is not going when you have Nylander, Matthews, Tavares, Riley, Domi, Bertuzzi. Go down the list. Yarncroak, when he's in the lineup, Robertson's got a shot. You can't tell me that none of these guys can stir the drink like Mitchie. Now, they're not Mitch Marner by any shot of the means, but going what they've gone in their power play, which we'll talk about in just a moment, is ridiculous. But this past week, 1-0-1, it should have been 2-0. The Leafs were weak in front of their own net. Pontus Holmberg couldn't take their guy out. And there's a guy named Simon Benoit who should have been in the lineup, should have been dressed. And we'll talk about him in a couple of moments as well. But you look at this week coming up, you got 4 games this week. You have the Philadelphia Flyers, the Washington Capitals. You have the Carolina Hurricanes, and you have the Edmonton Oilers. 2 back-to-backs this week. So you know Joel Wall's getting in the crease. We're going to talk about our boy, the brick wall, here very soon. But you got 4 games this week. You're not getting Mitch Marner in any of these games. We'll talk about him as well very shortly. But I look at this and I say, hey, the Maple Leafs need to step up and get the job done this week. I want to see it. You got 4 games. I want to see a 3-0-1 record. I want points in every single game. Because we've seen what's happened in the Eastern Conference, especially in the wild card race, teams catching up, teams passing other teams. The Maple Leafs cannot sleep or rest on their laurels of what have been done. They need to make sure they keep the foot on the gas pedal and keep it rolling. So I'm calling for a 3-0-1 week. I want to see Mr. Joel Wool put up some stellar numbers, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. The power play for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the last 9 games. 1-for-24. Let that set in. 1-for-24 on the power play. That is utterly unacceptable from a team that is having aspirations of going far in the playoffs. And a lot of people just snickered under their breath. But for me, this team should go far. They didn't need to augment with big pieces. They brought in the right ones, apparently, for the penalty kill. And we'll get to that in a couple of seconds. But the power play, shake it up if you have to. Take a Taylor Swift song and shake it off and shake it up. because right now these lines, they ain't working. So you take Mr. Austin Matthews, William Nylander, and I'd put them with guys who work hard, work their tails off. A Bertuzzi, a McMahon, slap a Liljegren on that line. Second unit, same thing. Find your stars, Tavares, whoever you want to put with him, Nyes, Robertson, Riley, and someone who works. Someone who works, by the way, is what I'm talking about. Someone who will do the dirty thing. Someone who will grind. Someone who probably can keep up with these guys on a power play situation, but they need someone who's a worker. Because you know what happens when you outwork the other team? I hear it every single broadcast. The Maple Leafs were outworked on X. The Maple Leafs were outworked on the penalty kill. The Maple Leafs were outworked on the power play, and they got a shorthanded goal scored against them. The Maple Leafs need a worker bee on each power play right now. Someone who injects some energy, but someone who skates his ass off and makes sure he gets it done. Because winging it around the outside's all fine and dandy. Possession numbers are great, but how about shots on goal? Because there's not too many of them on the power play in the past 25 chances. Sands the one that went in, the one for 24. I'm just confused, folks. Like, you can make this work. Mitch Marner is not that important that your entire power play shuts down. Because if he is, pack it up, fold your lawn chairs, and go home. Because you're not doing dick in the playoffs. Period. If Mitch Marner is your only solace to a victory on the power play, we got bigger problems. Because these guys should be able to drive their own units. A Nylander should be able to drive his own unit. A Matthews should be able to drive his own unit. These guys should be able to dictate the pace of play on a power play, especially a 4-on-3. 1 for 24. Get out of here. Get out of here. I don't care if you're fourth in the league. You're last in the league in March, by the way. You're all the way down at the bottom in March. We are 18 days in. You were 50% on the power play in February. And now you're bottom of the league. You're telling me a nosedive that much? That is that big of an issue? That your power play is that bad? That you nosedive that fast? Come on. Come on. Put a worker bee on there. Put a McMahon on the power play. See what happens. Put a Domi up there with those boys. See what happens. Put workers who want to go and get the puck and do the things. See what happens. I'm sorry right now. I don't have time for Holmberg because of that goal he gave up against Carolina, weak in front of his own net. If he controlled that stick, I believe the outcome of that game would be completely different. So I don't have time for him right now. And I love cheering. The population of Holmberg has grown by one when he scores. But that play right there is a play you cannot have now, and you definitely cannot have in the playoffs with Pontus Holmberg. But for the power play, shake it up. Bring in some new stuff. Putting Timothy Liljegren and Morgan Riley together, that ain't it. Put a worker bee up there. Put a McMahon up there. Put somebody up there. And I'm not a coach. Never coached in my life. But we all can see it. When guys who work hard around the stars, things happen. McMahon is a prime example. His two-year deal is because he works hard, does all of the right things, and doesn't quit. Simone Benoit is a fan favorite. Why? Because he works hard, blocks shots, hits the body, and doesn't quit. That's why we love him. He's not scoring all the goals, but every fan will tell you they love Benny and they can't wait for him to get back in the lineup. Why? Because he does the simple right things. And that's what the power play needs to do right now. Keep it simple. Get the pucks on net. Bang it in. Make it greasy. Make it gross. And a guy like McMahon can do that. A guy like Burt. Guy like Domi. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm telling lies. But let me spit a little gospel on you. Drop a little gospel, I guess, as they say in the wrestling world. The penalty kill. Everybody's fixated on these last 9 games. So let's keep it in that window. The last 9 games. Could you tell me what the Leafs' penalty kill is? Could you tell me how bad it is? The Leafs' penalty kill for the last 9 games is a dismal 38.89%. This team wants to go far in the playoffs. 38.89%. Only 2 games in the last 9 have they not allowed a goal, and it's because the team didn't get a power play. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. If you're allowing a power play goal every game, you might as well start the game down 1-0. Because if you're spotting a team a power play goal every game, it is a scheduled goal at that point. You know that one is going in every single game. At least one. That is ridiculous. That is not a team that wants to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. That is not a team that wants to go deep in the playoffs. That is not a team that wants to win in the second round. That is not a team that wants to win in the first round. You got to bring it all the way back because right now it's not working. The power play ain't clicking and the penalty kill, absolutely gross. Absolutely gross. 100% is an issue, needs to be fixed, needs to be worked on. And I know there's new guys getting worked in. Connor Dewar, that is a guy I have all the time in the world for. Skates his bag off, blocks shots, wins face-offs, will play either side for you, no problem, does it right. Joel Edmondson, same thing. He's learning his role here, but he's a solid penalty killer. He disrupts the rush, he uses that stick, and he can break up the play. But one thing this team needs to do, and I'll scream it from the high heavens, Luke Shen said it the best. Don't be afraid of the glass. And Timothy Liljegren, I saw you. You used the glass a couple times on Saturday night. Chef's kiss. Teach it to the rest of your boys. Use the glass on the penalty kill. Don't just flub it to the line and hope it skips over a stick and goes out. Shoot it out of the zone. The reason why the crowd applauds when the puck goes all the way down the ice, because you cleared the zone. Don't try to wheel it out Mitch Marner style or Willie Nylander style. Yeah, we get chances. Great. Great. The power kill. We love the power kill. No, I love a guy who chips the puck out of the zone and disrupts the possession. I love that more than I love a shorthanded chance when the team goes back the other way with extra numbers because our guy is dogged tired and doesn't want to skate back on the back check as hard as he skated to go down to get a shorthanded chance. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm telling lies. I would rather see a solid clear than a chance that creates an odd man rush going back after their goalie saves it and our guy is dog tired behind their net. Tell me where I'm telling lies. 38.89% over the last 9 games, 7 for 18. Absolutely unacceptable for the Maple Leafs on the penalty kill. Can't have it. You cannot have it. It needs to be rectified. It needs to be fixed. And it's something I will be fixated on as much as I was fixated on faceoffs. By the way, the boys have turned that up a little bit. But come on. The penalty kill's got to step it up. The power play needs to get going. And if you're relying on Mitch Marner for both of those things, that's scary. That is so scary to me. If you're relying on Mitch Marner to elevate both of your units and you're saying that's why you're sagging, you have a whole team of other guys who need to pull their damn socks up and get the job done. Simple and plain. Unacceptable. 38.89% over the last 9 games. Get it together, folks. One person who is going to hopefully get it together, it does look like Labushkin is nicked up, so Mr. Simone Benoit, shot blocking, net front clearing. Would have been good on Saturday night, wouldn't it, guys? Clear the front of that net and get the guy out of the way. That would have been beautiful, especially on that goal that Holmberg did not tie his guy up on. But Benny, who blocks shots and does everything that we love, that's a guy who's going to be back in the lineup starting tomorrow in Philly. As Bush is sick, will not be on the team playing, unlikely to play tomorrow, will probably join the team afterwards. Another guy who might get a start tomorrow, we don't know yet, is Joe Woll. We all know Samsonov took a puck in the pills Saturday. That's what it was. It wasn't an injury. He took a puck in the no-no spot, and that really doesn't feel nice. I don't know if you've ever felt that one. It's not a tickle in your loins. It's definitely something that could cripple your loins for a little while. So he was not feeling so hot after that shot. But I think Joe Woll should get the start against Philly. I think Samsonov should get the start against his old team in Washington. Why not? Let it have a little bit of story time. Have some fun. But the brick wall definitely should get the Philly start. And I think he deserves the net. And there's a little bit of a tidbit I want to read to you here about Joe Woll. Let me just scroll on over to that here from our handy dandy guy in the sky. So we're all agreeing that Samsonov is playing a lot more confident between the net for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I will tell you this, though. What if I told you his adjusted numbers, even in his hot streak, are slightly below Wool since he came back? Take that in for a second. His adjusted numbers are below Joe Wool's since Wool came back. That's crazy. That is insane to me. So what I think there, Joe Wool deserves to have a little net time and a little run time. And with the performance Saturday night, hey, it's not all on Sammy, but I will tell you right now, I want to see Joe Wool in there and see what the kid can go for. Because his numbers before he got hurt way back when on that ankle injury, he was up there with some of the best. And that's what I want to see. I want to see him come back. For me, Mitch Marner, another thing here. We are all hoping. We heard Saturday night from Mr. Elliot Friedman. Mitch Marner is going to be on the ice this week. He'll be skating and ramping himself up for a comeback. Well, guess what? Mitch Marner is not on the ice. Mitch Marner has had a setback. He's not responding the way they hoped that he would. So he will not be on this road trip. And I, suffice to say, I don't think we're going to see Mitch Marner until April. That's just my prediction. I don't think we see Mitch Marner in a Toronto Maple Leafs uniform until April. I don't think he's going to be back on the ice skating with this team until April. If it's an ankle injury, think about what just Joe Wool just went through with his high ankle sprain. Does Mitch Marner have the exact same thing? Could it be? Ankle injuries are nothing to mess with. You have to pivot, turn, especially if you're a forward. Pivot, turn, skate backwards, whatever you need to do. And a dynamic player like Mitch Marner and all the little stir-the-drink things we love to see him do, he needs to be able to pivot on those ankles and do all that pressure, turning, stopping, edges, you name it, on his ankle. So if you went a 100% Mitch Marner for the playoffs, you better park your biscuits and hope that he doesn't rush back. And the only way I want to see Mitch Marner back any sooner than he should be is if the Leafs are falling off the rails and they're losing every game and they're in desperate need of points. But right now they have a slight cushion for third in the Atlantic and the chance of the playoffs. Right now I would rest Mitch Marner until he is ready to go. Marner needs to park and do whatever he needs to do to get 100% healthy and then come back. Another player that we're not going to see for a long time, especially until April now, is Cale Yarncroke. Cale Yarncroke is out of the lineup on LTIR. I believe it's a hand sort of issue. Don't know exactly what it is. But he will not be in the Toronto Maple Leafs lineup for the foreseeable future. I believe it's the middle of April, beginning of April time, April 10th area, where he can come back. That's crazy to me. This guy is a versatile Swiss Army knife. Now, one good thing here for Gio, Mitch, and for Yarncroke, they should be fresh and ready to go with a little bit of runway to be able to do what they need to do heading into the playoffs, which is great, which is what you want to see. Absolutely stoked for that. But again, I'm leaning on this one here hard. If Mitch Marner is your stick that stirs the PK power play and your first line, whew, there's something wrong here, guys. Something really wrong here. All right, so here's the question. We're going to end the show with this one right here. Beautiful half an hour run, guys. I appreciate you all sticking around this long. If you have, by the way, drop a subscribe on the YouTube page. Head over to YouTube, hit me with a subscribe. We will drop energetic episodes like this one every single week, hopefully twice a week, bringing you the Leafs news and notes and stuff around the NHL. But get that subscribe in for me if you definitely can. That'd be amazing. Also, hit me up over on Twitter. Say hello. Say, hey, I listened in. Hey, I didn't like this. Hey, I like this. Drop me a DM. My DMs are always open. Even if you just want to chat, got something going on, you need a ear to bend, I'm right here right now. Here's a question. Last year, everybody apparently said, we want Florida. We want Florida. Not this guy. Go back and look at my videos. I wanted Boston. I wanted to slay the beast that was Boston in the first round. Now we got a little beef with the Florida Panthers. We do. Second round, Rako Gudas isn't there, but he still screamed in Joe Wool's face. You got the Lorax, Mr. What is his name? Bennett. Oh, I almost call him Simone Benoit. The Lorax that is Bennett, who slammed Matthew Nyes to the ice. Nobody likes him. To Chuck, He's always a thorn in people's ass. You don't like him. But for me, I'll say this. I want Boston. I want to shut down Boston. I want to shut down Boston so bad. You have no idea how badly I want to crush Boston and just take him out. I don't care what RA has to say. I don't care what anyone else is saying about the Boston Bruins and how tough the Boston Bruins are. No. Mm-mm. I want to see the Leafs flip the script and get it done. Yeah, we lost them through the regular season. Let me bring something up to you. The Ottawa Senators in the early 2000s used to have the Leafs number all regular season long, and it looked like a foregone conclusion. They beat the Leafs in the playoffs. Well, guess what happens there? Leafs took the playoffs, baby. That's what happens. So this year, the Leafs kind of getting owned by the Boston Bruins. Bada boom, bada bing. It's happening. But let me tell you something right here, right now. I want Boston in round one. I want to take out the Bruins. I want to get the job done. I want to slay that dragon. And then I want to go face the Florida Panthers in round two. And here's the thing that I said the other day. They all have to fall for us to win it all. So doesn't matter if you face Florida round one, Boston round two, Boston round one, Florida round two. It does not matter, because what is crystal clear is you probably are going to have to play them both anyways. But for me, I want Boston round one. I want to take that beast down, slay the dragon, and move on and tame the kitty cat in the second round. But I'm not talking about the second round until you pass the first. I want Boston. I want that matchup. I want that battle. I want to have fun with my guy Shukri Wrights and talk about this team and what's going on with our squads. But guys, I want to hear it from you. I want to hear what you want. Do you want Boston or do you want Florida? And tell me the reason why you want each team down below. For me, I want Boston to slay the dragon, to kill the beast, and then to move forward. That is something that is hanging over Leaf fans' heads forever. And I want that done, signed, sealed, and delivered. And I think the Leafs can do it. You can tell me all the things and the reason why the Leafs can't. I think the Leafs can do it. I think they got a little bit of nasty edge and some grease in their lineup, a la Brad Marchand and some of the guys that we have. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to me for 30 plus minutes if you hung out. And again, please drop a subscribe on YouTube. Say hello over on Twitter. Say hi over on TikTok, wherever you tune in from. But I appreciate you hanging out here. And you know what this show is. This is Offside Hockey Talk, where the Maple Leafs and hockey, we come to talk.